Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. It is great to be with you. Thanks to Jody Mack on Friday, Andy Gresh yesterday, as I enjoy sort of a hybrid spring break. We had a little trip to Chicago over the weekend, my wife, the boy, and I. I'll give you all the riveting details on that in hour number five of this four-hour show. Oh, Cubs fever was sweeping through the town. Oh, God, yeah. It is palpable how mediocrely excited they are for the Chicago Cubs. But there are some things that I would like to share with you at some point in the show. Do want to talk about the NCAA tournament, both men and women's. A big blow for the women's tournament with Juju Watkins going out last night. And she will miss the rest of the year, but there is big concern about her availability for next year. So the landscape in women's basketball has certainly changed quite a bit. Some NBA stuff that I want to get into tonight as well. The Milwaukee Bucks going to be without Damian Lillard for maybe a while. Blood clots for Dame. Jason Tatum hurt last night. Jimmy Butler facing the Heat in Miami, a revenge game. And then Doc Rivers, who you all love to hate, had a very interesting quote about blowing 3-1 and 3-2 leads. Essentially using my argument that I've used with LeBron James being compared to Michael Jordan. Because when you use the NBA Finals comparison, many people go, well, is his finals record is worse, LeBron's. And I go, shouldn't he get credit for getting there? Especially when he has really bad teams. Shouldn't he get credit for getting there? And Doc Rivers said, these series where I am up 3-1, 3-2, shouldn't I get credit for those three wins? And I'm like, oh my God, the one guy in the world who I found to agree with me on that take is Glenn Rivers. Oh boy. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit, plus some Cam Ward news. I get to make fun of Dan Hurley and the UConn Public Relations Department. I'm very excited for all of those things. But more dominoes have fallen in the NFL. Those dominoes being Stephon Diggs to New England and Russell Wilson to the Giants. Now, this is on the heels of the Giants on Friday signing Jameis Winston to a two-year, $8 million deal. Now, here's the Giants quarterback room. As of last Thursday, Tommy DeVito. That's it. Okay? Then on Friday, they bring in Jameis Winston. Both of these guys are on deals that it's not going to kill them to move on from them. Essentially, these are options. They've got Tommy DeVito, worst case scenario. We got to do better than that. Okay. Jameis is still out there. Nobody's interested. We know he can play quarterback for four quarters professionally. Might not be great. Could be worse. In fact, will be very great in the same quarter that it is, about as bad as it can be. But he's better than what we've got. Okay, so now we've got, going into the weekend and coming out, we've got Jameis Winston. Well, now Russell Wilson is going to be added to that quarterback room. The Giants and Russell Wilson agreeing on a one-year deal, which is worth up to $21 million, although there's $10.5 million guaranteed. So I think of the Daniel Jones deal. Daniel Jones essentially got a one-year deal for $16 million for the Colts to see just how bad Anthony Richardson is. So Russell Wilson is getting $10 million to get him in the door, and then he can earn another $10.5 million via, I'm sure, bonuses and incentives, some probably attributed to workout bonuses, which are easy to get, and then others maybe to starts and to stats, which could be a little tougher depending on if the Giants add another quarterback to their room. So right now, Thursday, the depth chart was QB1, Tommy DeVito, QB2, and QB3. It could have been anybody on this planet. On Friday, DeVito slides down to QB2. Jameis Winston gets in at QB1. That lasted a weekend. And Russell Wilson now comes in, who's at a very interesting end of his career. But he comes in at QB1, Jameis at QB2, Tommy DeVito at QB3. And that's probably enough. It's still a weird room. It could be a situation, too, where they go into September, week one, with a QB1 and a QB2. DeVito gets cut, puts on the practice squad, and nobody's going to sniff around for Tommy DeVito. So that could be the room. That's all fine. Wrinkle to the equation is that the Giants also have pick number 3 in the NFL draft. Cam Ward is going to go number 1. He had a great pro day. The Titans are super into him. They're at least trying to make it seem like they're very into him to possibly spur some trades, to just let you know that number 1 pick, if you want it, you got to pry it from our cold, dead hands because we love Cam Ward so much. But he's going number 1. 2 is, I still think, a complete wild card. The Browns could use a quarterback. They were in on Russell Wilson. I mean, Kenny Pickett, okay. They could go quarterback, or they could go Abdul Carter, or they could go Travis Hunter. And then you've got the Giants. And what's interesting about this is Shedeur Sanders is a prospect that can go all over the board. Now, I saw another mock draft this week that had him at 32. That was Kurt Benkert. Let me just tell you something real quick. Don't take anything Kurt Benkert says seriously. That's all I need to say on that. Except Madden techniques. He is good at that. But Shedeur could go anywhere. Anywhere on this big board. Okay. But the two other talents are interesting enough and good enough for a team like the Browns to not want to pass up on that opportunity. And then potentially they might like another quarterback later in the draft. And so they got to figure out, assuming Ward goes 1, which he's gonna. Yes, Shedeur Sanders is higher ranked than Jackson Dart. And yes, he's ranked higher than Quinn Ewers. And yes, he's ranked higher than Jalen Milroe. But if we have the opportunity to get Shedeur Sanders at 2, and then, you know, a decent early second round guy on day 2, would we rather do that? Or would we rather get one of these other quarterbacks that we can talk ourselves into and give him a chance, plus Abdul Carter, edge rusher out of Penn State, or Travis Hunter, who we can knock out 2 for the price of 1 if you want to go wide receiver and cornerback, and just won the Heisman. So there's some of that consideration in it as well. The Browns, by the way, actually have the number 1 pick in round 2. It goes Brown, Giants, and then Titans. And so the Browns have a lot of control. When you have that day 2 first pick, you basically get all day to figure out what you want. It rules. I mean, everybody's calling you if they want to get back in. So a lot of leverage, a lot of options on the table for the Browns. So let's say they take Carter or Hunter. And now you've got the Giants with Shedeur Sanders, who reports are they maybe like Shedeur Sanders. They're maybe sitting a little closer to him in the lunchroom each day. Maybe doing the thing I did when I tried to get a girl's attention all my life is talk very loudly. I don't know. I always talk loudly. And I like, I don't know. I see my son doing it now too. It's like, okay, shoot. So they're seemingly more interested in Shedeur. There's not as much of a desperation to get Shedeur now. With the room that you have, you can ease Shedeur in. You can get him into the league. You don't have to throw him there right away. You don't have to face all the questions right away. And also, the situation that you have with these three quarterbacks is they're expendable. Tommy DeVito's very expendable. Very much so. They've signed two quarterbacks in a weekend. Jameis Winston is expendable. And Russell Wilson, I wonder if he was told anything. What guarantees do I have to be the starter? Are you going to draft a guy if I sign? But again, it's another one-year deal on him. He got $10 million guaranteed. He can make some more money. He's going to New York rather than Cleveland, with all due. I don't know if a factor of his supermodel wife plays into it, but typically, wives and families are a part of the decision on where you want to live based on opportunities for the wife and the children. So I'm not saying it's nothing, and I think we'd be foolish not to factor it in. But now the Giants don't have to panic rush into making Shedeur Sanders work. They've got other options. They've got some time. Now, it's going to be a very interesting quarterback room. We talk a lot about culture. I don't know what the culture is going to be in a room with Jameis Winston, in a room with Russell Wilson, in a room with Shedeur Sanders, in a room with Tommy DeVito. It's basically like, find the four people in this league that play this position that are the most different from each other, whose Venn diagrams circle almost nothing. The four of them, it's just four circles sitting there. And throw them together in a room and see what happens. This is the real story, a little real world situation. This is the true story of four quarterbacks thrown into a house to try to see how it gets figured out. There's also another wrinkle that I wonder if it plays into the back of their head, and I don't know that it would. It would be 20 years later, and I would go to our Giants insider, Carlos Ortiz, on that.
Hi.
Well, first of all, give me your thoughts on the room up to this point, where the last time I talked to you on the air, Tommy DeVito was your lone quarterback. You now have signed your team, the Giants, two quarterbacks since, including a future Hall of Famer and Super Bowl winner.
So when they signed Jameis Winston, did I text you at all?
You did.
I don't remember what I said. I thought the answer was going to be no, to be honest. But I remember just being very, okay, no problem. What did I text you today?
Oh, you did not.
All right, so I did not confirm. I did not send you anything for Jameis Winston. I thought I didn't. But I did text
you
for Russell
Wilson. The last thing you texted me on Friday was, rest in peace, George Foreman. We lost a great one.
Yeah. Yeah, and a hell of a grill. Hulk Hogan really like fumbled the bag on that one. But I realized I actually texted you and a member of management when Russell Wilson got signed and news broke. I immediately went to WrestleMania. And I'm very happy about this because now WrestleMania season is coming to New York. Don't need tickets. Russell Wilson's going to come here and he's going to tell the kids to eat their vitamins, eat Subway, eat fresh. Go outside, find some horses, let's ride.
Mm-hmm.
Giants country, all that jazz. Jameis Winston's going to be praying in the corner, whether it's for good fortunes or not to throw pick sixes. Tommy DeVito is going to be pouring Italian marinara sauce and chicken cutlets. Shedeur Sanders, if he comes, is just going to be walking in like Childish Gambino when he walks into the room and there's like everything's on fire and he's carrying pizzas. Like, what the hell? That's Shedeur
Sanders. Is there any real American beer, brother? Is there any of that?
Sure. I am very excited, though. I do like this quarterback room that is basically the island of misfit toys because of one thing. The very fact that financially they are not tied to any of these guys with long-term ramifications. Sam Darnold got $30-plus million a season for what he just did in Minnesota. You're paying Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston a combined under $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine with that.
Now, do you think the room that they have is to also bring in Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
Or do you think the room that they have is to set them up to be bad to potentially get a crack at a quarterback in next year's class, which is more highly regarded than this one, including Arch Manning, who you may remember his uncle Eli and grandpa Archie did not want to play for the New York Giants.
Yes.
Have things changed enough since then?
The answer to both questions is yes. I think this quarterback room is set to bring in Shedeur Sanders if that's going to be the guy. But it's also giving them a contingency fallback. I don't think they're going to trade up with Cleveland. They're not going to get the number one pick. So you already Cam Ward's pretty much solidified himself as the guy. Tennessee's going to take him because Brian Callahan hates Will Levis and has made it no secret. And we've talked about it on this very show. He hates him with a passion. So Cam Ward's going to go to the Tennessee. Cleveland's going to do whatever Cleveland does. If they take Shedeur, then that's a totally, you know, that's a total Browns move. Cleveland fans are going to riot, and the Giants will be like, okay, we'll just take the best player available. And that's whether that's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, they're going to get a really good player to help them out at three. This is merely just a fallback move to they don't have to look like idiots if they're banking on Shedeur and Shador's not there. Now, if Cleveland wants to go ahead and pivot and say, you know what, we'll take a flyer on Kirk Cousins and you know Kenny Pickett or whatever they want to do, maybe Aaron Rodgers does a 360 and goes up to Cleveland. Who knows? He's going to go to the AFC North. Now it's just a matter of if Pittsburgh is going to play a games order or not. So if Cleveland just does not take Shedeur, then the Giants will just run to the podium and they'll take four quarterbacks. And I like what you said earlier. I truly do believe Tommy DeVito is destined to go back to the practice squad. No one's going to touch him, not because of his ability, but because his persona is better than what his ability is. He is a practice squad third string quarterback. So you're probably not going to sign him unless your entire quarterback room just gets infected with SARS. So you can throw him to the practice squad and be totally fine. I was thinking of what, you know, obscure the disease that I can think of. You know, smallpox is making a comeback, so I can't really say that.
I know. I forgot all about SARS. Oh my God.
Now, is that or mad cow disease? But either way, I'm happier than a pig in poop. I think the Giants needed to rebuild this quarterback room, and I think they've done so successfully right now, pending SARS.
It's not fun. Wait, I'm not laughing about SARS. I'm laughing about having forgotten about SARS. That's
Throwback Tuesdays here on the Bart Winkler Show.
And so that was a serious matter. It was a serious respiratory illness. Is there a team that I have talked about, at least with you on this show, that I have said, I can maybe think of one, that in any sport, that I have said more negative things about besides the New York Giants? I think the 49ers are in there. I don't think there's another team that I have been more negative on and have taken more shots at than the New York Giants.
Probably not. I mean, the 49ers would be one. Because we didn't even want to talk about them. We were going to ban them.
True. We were.
So and they shouldn't even count it. But then it became the Giants.
So I preface that to say, I like what they're doing right here. I like what the Giants are doing. Because they're committed to nothing. Yeah, there's some guaranteed money towards Russ. And, you know, Jameis Winston's under contract. But in the grand scheme of quarterbacks in this league, they are not committed to going in any different direction. They've got a few things in their cart, but they're still shopping. And if they have to check out, they're fine. They're fine with what they got. But if something else comes along, well, then that's great too. They've at least got options. They've got people in the house. Two in the hand is worth one in the bush, okay? They've got three in the hand if you want to count Tommy DeVito, which I don't. So two in the hand. They've got two different guys that they can fall back on. You go into this season with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito, you can do worse, and other teams will. I thought the Steelers should have gone back to Russell Wilson. I thought they'd given him more weapons. I thought reuniting him with DK Metcalf could have been great, but they did not want to go down that road. So I like what the Giants have done here, and I like that it hasn't eliminated them from drafting a quarterback. And if they do draft a quarterback, it's not going to be like, oh my God, what have you done? You're still going to be paying for this move later. When Kirk Cousins was signed by Atlanta, that was a lot of guaranteed money, for them to draft a quarterback a month later was fine, but they're still paying for that because Kirk's still on the roster and they had to just guarantee him another $10 million on next year's cap to do that move. The Giants did not take themselves out of the running to draft a quarterback. They also did not take themselves out of the running to hurt themselves in the long term financially. So it's not going to hurt them in 2025. It's not going to hurt them in 2026. And if it's not Shadur, they can still draft another quarterback. And then you're learning from Russell Wilson, who, again, we make fun of him a lot, but I think there are worse guys that you can learn from. So the Giants, in a situation where they had nothing, now have a few different options. And I got to tell you, in my years of experience, having a few different options, it's a lot better than having no options. So I'm crediting the Giants for doing like the bare minimum here, but I am crediting the Giants for what they did. There is another team at the top of the draft board. Oh, you know what? A part of this story, I guess, you mentioned him, Aaron Rodgers. I understand that he visited Pittsburgh on Friday. There's nothing that I could say right now about Rodgers that I haven't said. He didn't sign. He's not going to sign. He's going to be a Steeler. He's going to sign this summer. I'll continue to say it. You heard it here first. Okay? Because the Steelers are fine with Mason Rudolph going in the camp. Rodgers is nowhere to go. He doesn't want to do camp. He'll sign on his terms. He probably told the Steelers that too. Everyone's probably in agreement. We'll sign you in July. Okay. So I still think that it's either retirement or Pittsburgh, as it's been all along. There's another team, however, that after we've talked about these teams that draft early, the Titans, the Browns, and Giants, well, then what do the Patriots do? And was their move today something that's going to change what they do in the draft? We'll take a look at the ramifications of the Stephon Diggs signing when we come back. This is the Bart Winkler Show. We've got a new phone number again. 888, not again. We've got a new phone number. We've got a new phone number. I'm again going to tell it to you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That would make me Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Russell Wilson is now a member of the New York Giants. I found out when I put my phone out of my pocket a few hours ago, and I got a text from Carlos that said, WrestleMania, which you have been working on for days, or this is a recent discovery to you, or did you rip this off, or where did this come from?
It came onto the top of my head, but I am sort of ripping it off subconsciously because a friend of the network, Chris Russell in D.C., I think his Twitter name is WrestleMania. I'm almost sure that's what it is.
Oh, okay. It's better than my suggestion. I was going to say Wilson Elimination Chamber.
No, the hell you weren't.
No, I wasn't. No, that's just a fun wrestling joke. So Russell Wilson's a Giant. Again, so is Jameis Winston. And I don't think this takes them out of the running. In fact, it might help them relax a little bit. Because now they don't need to go and get Shadur and then be all panicky about, well, we got to make this work. They can see how he does in camp. They can bring him along. Or they can draft a player of other caliber like Carter or Hunter or whoever and then get another quarterback that can be mentored by Russell Wilson later on. There's not a pressing need for a quarterback in 2025 for them. They've got one that is capable enough and then another that is fun in Jameis Winston. Russell Wilson's capable enough to do with what the Giants, whatever they're looking to do. I don't think this is a playoff team. I don't think with Russ you're going to get the number one overall pick, but I think you're going to put yourself in a position to be competitive. And so I do like that it gives them options. Now, if your goal is tank completely, so that you can get Arch Manning and try to draft a Manning again and see if it works this time? Well, maybe you've done that. I don't know how good Russell Wilson's going to be. But you don't, like, need to pluck a guy out of the UFL to start for you week one. You've got options there. And I think it brings the pressure down surrounding that number three pick. So I do like what they did in that regard. Another note tonight is that Stephon Diggs is the newest member of the New England Patriots. So the Patriots, which have spent a lot of money on defense this offseason, are now throwing some money to Stephon Diggs, 31 years old, is on track to be ready for week one. He's coming off an ACL injury that knocked him out in week eight with Houston. He had 47 catches up to that point, 496 yards. They have been trying every which way to get a wide receiver, a big wide receiver. And maybe you'd rather have Brandon Ayuk. Maybe you'd rather have Chris Godwin. These are guys that the Patriots have offered big money to try to acquire. Ayuk didn't want to get traded. Godwin didn't want to go. There wasn't enough money to get them out of their current situations. They were used as leverage, essentially, from their current teams and their current employers. Diggs, they had to give some money to. It's a three-year, $69 million deal. Now, the important number in the NFL is how much is guaranteed. 26 is guaranteed. But it gives them another option for Drake May. The receiving room there is very bad, with all due. Mac Hollins was signed. They've got Kendrick Bourne. They got Kayshon Boutte. They got DeMario Douglas. They got Jalen Polk, a rookie from last year. But they wanted at least some sort of firepower or some more weaponry on the offensive side. So we look at the Giants. Does it change what they're going to do in the draft? I don't think so. I think if anything, it brings the pressure down and they can really think and take their time to make a decision. They'll have 5 weeks to do it. For the Patriots, it finally gets them a guy that has produced big time production at wide receiver. What he's going to give them in 2025 remains to be seen. What that offense is going to look like remains to be seen, but it gives them big-time production. And it also means if they do draft a receiver, McMillan out of Arizona perhaps, or if they want to go the Travis Hunter route, they can also bring that guy in and not immediately have to put number one pressure on him either. So it might make things a little easier when all is said and done. So I think both of these moves that happened are good moves in their own right, but also have lowered the, like I said, blood pressure for the decision that needs to be made, and also has made things more accommodating and easier for whatever route they happen to go come the draft. So some very interesting moves coming in here today in the NFL. Now with Cam Ward, as we talk about this draft, I wanted to read this tweet because I want to try to figure out the meaning behind it. It's from Adam Schefter. We've talked about Adam Schefter. I think that with these guys, there's usually some other intention sometimes. And I saw this tweet, and I had like three or four different scenarios running through my head. The tweet was from this morning, and it was about Cam Ward. Adam Schefter tweets, ESPN sources, Tennessee will hold an additional private workout with potential number one overall pick, Cam Ward. The Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward, and while they're expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. So where are the sources coming from? And what are they trying to get to Adam Schefter that he's then trying to get out to us and to people around in the league? Because I think how we read this and how I used to read it, where I just read everything and interpreted it as the way it was being told to me, oh, Tennessee really likes Cam Ward. It's going to be really hard for them to trade to pick. Now, I do think they really like Cam Ward. I do think they're content with getting Cam Ward. But I also think that the number one pick is up for sale. And so by letting your interest in Cam Ward be known, what it is saying, I've got a tighter grip on this pick than you thought I did. You thought I just had this number one pick and I was like you know, playing with it. You know, it's like a ball in the pool, playing with it a little bit. If I, or in the ocean, I got a beach ball. You know, if I lose it, all goes in the wind. Whatever, I'll buy another beach ball. Oh no, you brought this beach ball. You haven't even blown it up yet. You're not even sure you want to use it. This is a toy you don't want to take out of the box. The more that you are guarding it, the more that's going to make me want it. Oh, they really like Cam Wardiff. They really must like Cam Wardiff. Now they got a private workout. What are they seeing? I got to get on this. Nothing's worth anything to anyone until it starts to be worth something to someone. So I think this is interesting how it's worded. I do believe that Cam Ward is going to be the guy at one. I do believe the Titans take Cam Ward. But I do believe they're also trying to nudge, increase any potential offers that might come their way if somebody would be interested in acquiring that number one overall pick. So the draft coming up, like I said, in about a month, and now a lot of different pieces are falling into place, but I'm not sure that anything is different than it was this morning, other than maybe teams being more solidified and more confident in the decisions that they're about to make come the end of April. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We've got our Bulletin Blitz to go through some of the other news of the day. Want to talk some college basketball as well, some injuries in the NBA, and some galaxy brain thinking from my guy Doc Rivers that you should not discredit him for blowing 3-1 leads. You should credit him for getting the three wins in the first place. Mwah, I couldn't have said it better myself. An impeccable take from Doc. Well, with all that and more coming up right now, let's get an update. Here is Pat Boyle.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin is a big blue. Erase all of their doubters. Off the mighty Patriots, 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Tuesday, March 25, 2025, and March Madness is a time for college basketball's peak, which is we are going into the Sweet 16. But it's also, I guess, time for the transfer portal. And players all over the country are jumping out of their current deals, looking for new schools and higher paychecks. Well, here is head coach from Michigan State, Tom Izzo, says he doesn't care about the transfer portal at this point of the season. His number two Michigan State Spartans will be facing Ole Miss on Friday.
When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kids' life, and their grandkids' life. Because that's what it is. And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people.
It's weird. I talked a little bit last week about these portal dates. Everyone complains about when they are. When it's football season, the portal starts after the season, and so people leave during the bowl games. Then there's another transfer window after the spring games where teams have started to cancel the spring games because teams are watching the spring games and then offering better NIL deals to players that they like from those teams. And now in basketball, we got through a weekend of the tournament and the portal has opened already. It opened yesterday. In 2023, on day one of the portal, 175 kids on the men's side went into it. That was 2023, 2 years ago. Last year, the record broke with 291 kids on opening day going into the portal saying, we're ready to go somewhere else. And then yesterday, more than 700 players got into the portal. And you can say it's bad for college basketball or whatever. The ratings for the first weekend of the tournament were very good. Get into that a little bit later. So we're still watching. It's just weird that there continue to be these dates that that are set up that seem to hinder. Like, there's a kid, Scottie Pippen's kid at Michigan, entered the portal. They're in the Sweet 16. What are we doing? So, yeah, Tom Izzo can say that. It is unfair, but if he wants next year's kids to be in this position, Tom, you got to be thinking about the portal even while you're thinking about your next game.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We talked a little bit about Cam Ward earlier in the show, presumptive number one pick going to Tennessee. So he is asked, this is courtesy of CBS Sports, if he's nervous about any aspect of the NFL game.
But on film, it's the same as college. Besides the D-line, who's obviously better, every team playing gets the highest paid defensive lineman. So, you know, the game could speed up a little bit. But just from a back-end standpoint, a lot of guys want to put the safety high 25 yards down the field and leave the middle field wide open. So some teams who did that to us this year, they paid the price. I think some teams in the NFL did a lot of too hot stuff, like Dallas, going a lot of Tampa, a lot of cover two. They leave way too much space on the sideline down the seams. And so I just think, you know, the arm strength, anything, you know, the confidence that I'm bringing, along with the, you know, me getting my receivers better, I just think I'll be able to put the ball where I want.
Yeah, I mean, I get that some college teams are running more NFL-type concepts, both on offense and defense, but you can't be naive to think that that means it's going to look the same. I mean, if you get drafted by the Tennessee Titans, as bad as the AFC South is, it's a lot better than the ACC. Plus, it's a lot better than the 56 points you put up against Florida A&M and the 62 points you get up against Ball State and the 50 points you levied on to South Florida. So I understand the wanting to project confidence, but I hope that, you know, he's aware that it's going to be exponentially harder to see those concepts in the pro game as it is collegiately.
And here's an interesting admission from everyone's favorite media darling now, Jason Kelce. This is courtesy of our old friend Damon Amendola on his Watch DA Live on YouTube/Twitter channel. Jason Kelce, I've always wondered about this. When a guy retires and then his team wins the Super Bowl the next year, shout out to our guy Tiki Barber, same thing, Giants won the year after he retired. Jason Kelce admits that the Eagles might not have won the Super Bowl if he returned.
Call a butterfly effect, whatever, but there's more, and it's not even just me and Cam Jurgens. You know, there's Mekhi Becton. There's a lot of decisions that get made that ultimately come down to, you know, guys stepping away, coaches moving on. There's a lot of different varying factors. And what I do know is that the group that remained with the Philadelphia Eagles at the end of the season was the best team in the NFL.
They won the Super Bowl, and he was not there. I don't know that they don't win a Super Bowl with him there, but he's right. There were a lot of different decisions that were made. The Mekhi Becton one came to my head, Cam Jurgens. You know, these are decisions that get made because they're trying to replace Kelce, and then how do they replace him kind of leads to them winning. And so I don't know that they wouldn't have. They clearly dominated the Chiefs. Would they have gotten to that point? Probably still. But you do wonder the butterfly effect. Sometimes I think to myself, has there ever been a game, and I can't think the answer is yes, but has there ever been a game that if I would have went to as a fan, or if I didn't go to as a fan, would I have changed the outcome? Like, what would you have to do? You'd have to interfere with the play-in somehow, because what would you have to do to just go to the stadium? I watch a game on TV, and I wonder, if I went to that stadium and sat in the second level, would I see the exact same thing, or would something be different along the way? Would my interaction with something be different? You never know. These are the things that keep me up at night. Because, as a fan, I've tried to think, if I only went to that Super Bowl, would the Packers have won against the Broncos? You try to think about that. You try to justify. It's part of the bargaining stage in the five steps of grief.
We do crazy thing as fans. We're going to wrap it up real quick on the Bulletin Blitz, but when the Cubs were playing the Indians in the World Series, every time they had two strikes, I rubbed a C on my cap, and I swear that was leading to an out. So
it works. They won.
It works until it doesn't. Last one here, Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla says Jason Tatum is doing okay. They took care of the Kings 113-95, but scary moment for Jason Tatum as he rolls his ankle. He says he's doing all right, though.
Seems to be doing okay. He's just icing it right now. I didn't see the play, but they made the right calls of flagrant foul, and fortunate that he was able to shoot the free throw and, just taking care of it right now.
The Celtics are on a 6-game win streak. They found themselves now just 4.5 back of the Cavs, much tighter than the gap between the Thunder and the Rockets, 1-2 in the West, 13.5. But if Jason Tatum gets an additional rest, that's probably what's for the best. You don't want to tweak an injury or make it worse. And this is why the NBA is not going to be that great for the next 2 weeks, because guys will be resting to not be healthy for the playoffs. Guys will be shut down because the teams want to lose. It's a little bit of a problem that the NBA has this time of year. I don't know how you correct it. Thankfully, we've got other basketball to pay attention to, so maybe they don't feel like they need to. That other basketball being the two different NCAA tournaments. We'll share some updates, and we do like it when there are no upsets. We don't think we do, but we do. Next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.